interconnectivity of healthcare reform.
Don't miss the numbers, the news, and Kai's final note. Subscribe to the Marketplace podcast. Find it on iTunes or online at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. It is day three, the final day of arguments on President Obama's healthcare overhaul at the Supreme Court. And the big news yesterday was that the key swing vote on the court, Justice Anthony Kennedy, might not be so swing. Take a listen and judge for yourself. Here's what he said yesterday about the individual mandate part of the law, which would require some uninsured Americans to purchase health insurance.
And here the government is saying that the federal government has a duty to tell the individual citizen that it must act. And that is different from what we have in previous cases.
Well,
that changes the relationship of the federal government to the individual in a very fundamental way.
A very fundamental way. That's the line that's got supporters of the health care law concerned. Well, today, the justices will look at the issue of severability. That is to say, if the court strikes down the individual mandate, can other parts of the law remain in place, or are they severable? Healthcare economist Brad Herring of Johns Hopkins University says the problem with taking the individual mandate out is this.
Only the people who are older with chronic health conditions would purchase health insurance. Insurers would anticipate this, have to elevate the premiums in order to cover their costs. But then in turn, elevating the premium means that some of the younger, healthier people leave the pool, and this leads to what many have called death spiral.
Death spiral. Now, it's not clear that the individual mandate will be thrown out. In fact, even the experts like Brad Herring can't figure out what the court's going to do.
You could imagine one approach just saying, oh, gosh, or throw your hands up in the air and saying everything's so interconnected that the whole thing has to go.
Or, he says, certain parts of the law could be kept intact. We'll find out in June, and maybe we'll get some clues from the justices later today. The maker of BlackBerry, Research in Motion, will give us what could be its most important quarterly earnings report ever tomorrow. The company has struggled to compete with its rivals and hired a new CEO in January, but many analysts aren't convinced the company has turned itself around. Jennifer Collins reports.
Research in Motion is at a make-or-break moment. Laura DiDio is an analyst with ITIC.
RIM is in the exact position Indiana Jones was in ahead of that giant boulder. They're really in danger of just being flattened by the competition.
Analysts expect the company to barely hit the low end of sales forecasts. A RIM tablet hasn't taken off, and BlackBerry's been losing share of the business market as many companies offer employees iPhones or Android devices.
When your competitors are Apple and Google, you can't afford even the tiniest misstep, and they've had several.
Carl Howe, Yankee Group VP of Research, says just like a certain archaeologist, BlackBerry may not be doomed yet.
One of the things we still hear from consumers is that these are some of the best devices for doing things like making phone calls, something we tend to lose track of in today's touch-based environment.
Howe says things could improve when BlackBerry releases a new line of smartphones later this year. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are down in overseas trading this morning, down 0.7% in Tokyo and Hong Kong, down about 0.25% in Frankfurt. Apple is offering refunds to iPad 3 customers in Australia who thought they could use Australia's 4G network on the iPad 3. They cannot. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow dialed back 43 points to close at 13,197.
Show Marketplace how much you like us. Stay connected to our hosts, reporters, and top stories on Facebook. Find us at facebook.com/APM Marketplace.
So did you get enough sleep last night? Well, if not, you are not alone. LA Times consumer columnist David Lazarus has been staying awake late at night researching this topic, and he joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning.
So it sounds like we're not getting enough sleep, David.
Oh, big time, Jeremy. If you talk to our friends at the Centers for Disease Control, about 75 million Americans, that's more than a quarter of the population, say they don't get enough shut-eye. About 30 million say they have chronic insomnia. Hmm. Now, the CDC says that can have health ramifications. It can lead to diabetes, heart disease, obesity, depression, and it can take an economic toll. Basically, all that lost productivity due to lack of sleep saps the economy of about $63 billion a year.
And And just to set the terms here, David, I assume that a good night's sleep is like, what, 8 hours?
The experts are mixed on it, but basically 7, 8, 9, it depends. Let's say 8 hours just for the sake of it.
Okay, so why aren't we getting that 8 hours?
Well, in part because of all our neat gadgets, our iPads and our smartphones, the computer, the TV. There's stuff to do all the time. Moreover, staring at a bright screen will cut back on melatonin secretion, which you need to kind of get into that restful state.
You shouldn't be looking at a computer screen or a TV screen right before you go to bed.
Exactly. And yet polls show that almost everyone does. Moreover, yeah. We try and keep ourselves perked up because we live in this go-go culture. In 1987, Starbucks had only 9 outlets, all in Seattle. Now it has 19,000 worldwide.
Yeah, I think there are 9 on this block here in Los Angeles.
Exactly.
Well, David, what is the solution? How can we get enough sleep?
Well, some people turn to pharmaceutical solutions. In fact, the market for sleeping pills is said to be about $9 billion within the next year or so. It's a huge amount of money. The experts say what you want to do is practice something called good sleep hygiene. And it's complicated. You want to Google it and read about it. But basically, watch out for the caffeine, the alcohol, the nicotine before bed. Try to go to bed at the same time every night. Try to get up at the same time every morning. Try to regulate a bit. And then if you're still having trouble, well, there's some other tricks too that you can read up on.
Get some sleep, David.
I need a latte.
LA Times consumer columnist David Lazarus, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
And finally, the Los Angeles Dodgers were bought at auction last night by a group of investors, including basketball legend Magic Johnson. The price? A little over $2 billion. Now, just for comparison's sake, here's what else is worth about $2 billion these days. A total upgrade of the state of California's computer system, the company GoDaddy.com, which sells domain names for websites, or the annual economy of the African nation of Djibouti. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.